la baby, ella es la championa. Se pone loquita si me escucha en la emisora. Y ahora, di de pensar que yo contigo quiero estar. Querer probar algo de ti pa' no olvidar. Yo no me sé ni su nombre, pero la quiero. Paso y dejo su fragancia.
To get into podcasts but doesn't know where to start. The whole crew is so excited about this show. It involves us trying a number of things we've never tried in a live show before. Come watch us take that leap. The first leg of our tour starts in Brooklyn, New York on September 20th and 21st, then goes on to Northampton, Boston, Washington, D.C., Durham, Charleston, Atlanta, Knoxville, Louisville, St. Louis, Iowa City, Minneapolis, Madison, Chicago, Ann Arbor, Toronto, Pittsburgh, Newark, Portland, and Philadelphia. If any of those cities sound familiar to you, check out welcometonightvale.com/live for tickets. You can also visit welcometonightvale.com/live for the full list of cities, including two shows in Seattle the night before PodCon, performances across the UK and Europe, and more US dates. And hey, you're doing great.
Is this the first time you've heard me say this? Are you sure? Welcome to Night Vale. Okay, I'm starting again. As many of you certainly noticed, we are having a problem of timeline divergence here in Night Vale. Events are happening over and over, and each instance is different than the last. Earl Harlan, sous chef at Tourniquet, was preparing a fresh salad with wood glue vinaigrette and decided to do a spinach base, but then he was preparing a fresh salad with wood glue vinaigrette and decided on a romaine base. The same event, twice, with drastically different outcomes. Also, there was that tragic story from the Night Vale Daily Journal about that plane that crashed at Night Vale International Airport, but when we looked at the paper again, it was a really boring story about a plane that landed safely with no unusual incidents. It was a stunning tragedy and a totally mundane event simultaneously, and it is unclear which of those really happened. My husband, Carlos, whose long, perfect hair was looking unusually perfect, does not know what is causing these fracturing timelines. He has been busy in his lab saying that he is working on an incredibly important project related to this, and he needs to see it through. Meanwhile, a mysterious figure in a black satin mask stood on top of the former Flaky O's factory, watching this chaos unfold. Who is this figure? And what do they want? More soon. Or maybe just this again, but with a slightly different wording. We'll see. And now, traffic. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and so I decided to take both. Be one traveler, I split myself good by a process I barely understood. A third me slithered neath the undergrowth, Through the trees, I could see myself walk, merely me, but I started to hate him. For if I am real, then he is the mock. We turned as one. As one began to talk, each quoting the other verbatim. I shall be asking and asking why. Two iterations of myself hence. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took them both, and many others beside. It turned out there never was a difference. This has been Traffic. This splitting of timelines in town has only gotten worse, and it seems that it is connected to the mysterious figure in a black satin mask. Wherever they go, things happen, and also happen differently, and also happen even differently than that. When the masked figure visited the library and asked for a copy of The Artist's Husband, that hit novel about an artist and a time traveler who get married, the librarians began keening and banging on their cages, but also they got very quiet. Several librarians escaped, but also they didn't escape, and several bystanders were mauled by those loose librarians, but also they were fine and went back to their homes saying things like, "Wow, uneventful day today," and "Nothing exciting has ever happened to me and I've never been injured." When the masked figure stopped at the Ralphs, weekday shift manager Charlie Bear accidentally spilled a box of cereal in aisle 3. Kellogg's cereal, of course, since no other cereal is allowed in town anymore. But at the same time, Charlie spilled Kellogg's cereal all over aisle 5, which is the cleaning supplies aisle. He wasn't sure how that even happened, but it did. And at that exact moment, the Ralphs wasn't a Ralphs, but instead a Vons. Now, this is truly getting baffling. How do I report on a story that is many different stories at once, all contradicting each other? And just who is this mysterious figure in the black satin mask? Further updates when more is known and possibly simultaneously not known. And now the community calendar. Monday is pizza night at the Last Bank of Night Vale. Come by for this fun community event that features free pizza, a DJ, and paperwork that looks like a softball sign-up sheet, but actually commits you to a predatory loan. Meanwhile, Monday is karaoke night at the Last Bank of Night Vale. Come and join our employees in song. Unfortunately, we planned this slightly last minute, and so the only CD we could find was a collection of nature sounds. So do your best to sing along to such hot numbers as Rustling Leaves No. 5, Miscellaneous Beach Noise, and 2 Hours of Burbling Brook. Then Monday is Art Gallery Night at the Last Bank of Night Vale. Do you make art? Why? Just what are you trying to prove? Do you think you're better than us? Yeah, come try to justify yourself this Monday night at the Last Bank of Night Vale. And finally, Monday is the annual kids fundraising dinner at the Last Bank of Night Vale, catered by Night Vale's own Earl Harlan. Join this fun and delicious celebration as we raise money for kids, which we will then give to the kids. No strings attached. I wonder what they'll spend it on. Huh. Something was off about this community calendar, but I can't put my finger on what. I mean, looking back, it seems normal. Kind of a light week. Only one event. Monday night at the Last Bank of Night Vale is a garage sale. They have all sorts of weird stuff people have put in safety deposit boxes. And it feels like a waste leaving them sitting there. Come and make an offer. So that's normal. Not sure what it was. Carlos has reached out to me with a concern. He said he is busy at work on this problem, but given that events have been turning out with wildly different outcomes, how will we know which outcome is true? This day will end however it ends, he said. But how will we know the ending we experience is real? What if resolving this crisis is merely another splitting possibility, and at the same time, there's an us still dealing with the crisis? And that is a very real concern. I guess I can only say that it's a gut thing. I mean, I feel like when this is resolved, we'll know the real series of events. We'll just know them, you know? Because they'll be the ones that actually happened. And Carlos tells me that gut feelings aren't scientific, but I said, well, what are guts made out of? Science, right? And he had to concede that point. Then I told him his short cropped hair looked more perfect than usual. And he blushed. Still, I must keep Carlos's concern in mind as this day wraps up. I'll need to pay attention and make sure that what is happening is the only version of that event, and there aren't other stray versions sprawling out their own timelines somewhere else. And now a word from our sponsors. Today's sponsor is... Okay. They just sent a videotape with the labels torn off of it. I guess I'll watch it and describe what I'm seeing. It's a black and white shot of a kitchen. A man is making a sandwich. It's a falafel sandwich with cucumbers and tomatoes, and he eats the sandwich, smiles at the camera, and leaves the room. Now there's a big red text saying, there must be another way. Now we're back at the kitchen, and the man is making a sandwich. He seems confused, as though he remembers having just done this. In his confusion, as he's cutting the tomatoes, the knife slips, and oh my god, oh, he's screaming. But now that same text, there must be another way, and the man is back making the sandwich, and he's still screaming, but he realizes his hand is intact. And he goes to the phone to make a call, and he slips and bangs his head on the counter, and he falls out of frame. And the text says again, there must be another way. And the man is back, and he's pale and shaking, and he's feeling his head. And he can't believe it's not broken open, and he runs for the door and out into the yard, and the camera follows him. And it's not clear who is filming, and there is an earthquake, and a crevasse opens up in his lawn, and he disappears into it. And again, there must be another way, and he is back in the kitchen, and he's weeping. How long is this? Okay, it looks like this tape is at least 3 hours long, so I'll watch the rest of it later and kind of summarize. Maybe then we'll figure out who is even sponsoring this thing. The diverging timelines disaster is only worsening, and Night Vale, of course, has no mayor to deal with the issue. Except that sometimes we do have a mayor, and sometimes it's Dana Cardinal. And sometimes it's Pamela Winchell, and sometimes it's a tall obsidian statue with wings and 1,000 faces, and it's not clear which of these timelines are real. The sheriff tried to restore order, saying, listen, no matter what timeline you find yourself in, just maintain a calm disposition, lie face down wherever you are, and wait for a secret police officer to collect you. But the problem is that anyone following these directions finds that they have simultaneously not followed those directions. And so the problem doesn't seem possible to resolve. Meanwhile, the worst of the effects are following the figure in the black satin mask, although nothing more has been learned as to who they are or what their role in all this might be. And so, listeners, the masked figure. They've walked into the station, and they're standing on the other side of the control room glass. They are reaching up now and pulling off the mask. Oh my god, it's... Hold on, I need to deal with this. Let's go to the weather.
And I wanna be where nobody knows me. Shadows. And I wanna live free from this poison. Shadows.
Listeners, I can't believe it. The masked figure all this time was my old friend, Earl Harlan. Earl stood there, a black satin mask in hand, with an even more solemn than usual expression. "I didn't mean for this to happen," he said, his eyes filling up with an inky blackness. "That's the most important thing to remember. Okay, Cecil?" "Okay," I said, "but what exactly is happening?" He pressed his phone to the glass and showed me a text conversation he'd been having with his son, Roger. It was a string of emojis, mainly the waving arms octopus, plus the Minotaur with sunglasses, plus the movie theater on fire with a marquee that has a picture of another movie theater on fire. "Do you know what this means?" he asked. "Yes," I said. "No," I said. "I'm not really sure," I said. "Roger wants to go out with his friends tonight," Earl explained. "They want to walk blindfolded into the desert with their backpacks filled with rocks." "That sounds kind of dangerous," I said, not sure what this had to do with the timeline problem. "I know, right?" said Earl. "But if I say no, Roger will be mad at me, and his friends will think he's uncool, and I really don't want Roger to be mad at me. And friendships are so important that age. They're just so intense. I mean, I was 19 for a really long time. I know what I'm talking about." Right, I said, "but the timelines." "Also," continued Earl, "my assistant keeps asking if we're doing croquettes or funnel cakes for the kids' fundraising dinner, but I just don't know. I mean, whatever we choose could change the course of the night and our lives forever. I finally had a blocker number. And then I'm supposed to pick the colors for the new Boy Scout uniforms. Dried blood red and khaki brown, or fresh blood red and khaki green. I've gotten to the point of wearing a black satin mask so no one can recognize me and ask me to make any more big decisions today. I've never been good at things like this." And Earl's eyes were as shiny and dark as oil slicks. "Like earlier at Vaughn's," he said, my shopping list had one thing on it. I was there for 6 hours. I walked out of Ralph's with nothing. You'd be surprised, Cecil, how often I leave that store with nothing at all, feeling dazed and starved and exhausted, my empty, reusable canvas bag flapping against my side in the hot wind. And I tried to reassure him that we all do that, but he didn't seem to hear me. "Some days all I do is think about the things I could have done," Earl said. "Like I keep having these visions of this one moment that I can't even really remember. I was in a car, or it was on a porch when the light burned out. or it was in a brightly lit hallway with a party going on in the next room. There was something I didn't do, something I was afraid to do, and told myself that I could do it later when it felt less scary, but some opportunities only happen once before they become unattainable forever. Do you know what I mean? After a moment, I said, yeah. Earl's head tilted back. Darkness beamed from his eyes until the daylight outside was stained to night. Car, porch, hallway, khaki, blood, croquettes, octopus, minotaur, movie theater. He chanted until the words became just rhythmic, guttural sounds. And finally, Earl's phone vibrated, his head untilted, and his eyes stopped beaming as he fished around in his pocket. It was a text from an old friend, a very old, very good friend. They hadn't spoken in some time, not really spoken, not like they used to. It said, "Hey, I know it's been a while, but I just wanted you to know I think it's kind of cool that you can't make choices. Like, maybe that makes you more of a part of the universe and less of an actor upon it. Maybe we could all be a little more like that, you know?" Earl felt suddenly relieved, as if many years of heaviness had lifted. The blackness in his eyes receded and the sky grew light again. "Yes," he said, "why do I have to make choices at all? Why do any of us?" Now, the friend may not have meant that exactly, but at this point, there was nothing he could do to take it back. "No more choices," Earl said, shutting his eyes tightly. And then he walked down the hallway, out the door into the too bright sunlight of dawn. And then he walked down the hallway, out the door. And then he walked down the hallway, out the door. Since this moment, citizens agree that one reality remains in Night Vale and that it's the correct one. Hot take. I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I thought I'd have a gut feeling, but I just feel, I don't know, unsettled? I feel like I have to look at everything that happened today and just keep looking at it until it makes sense, you know? Speaking of gut feelings, I'm getting updates that the Ralph no longer stocks Kellogg's cereal, and in fact only stocks one product in every aisle. Castellano brand colossal squids stuffed with their own viscera, which I understand is an imported Spanish tapas. Great appetizers for your dinner parties or just for complete meals, snacks, and all sustenance from now on. Ralph's, for all your shopping needs involving Castellano brand colossal squid stuffed with their own viscera. I need to make sure this was how it actually turned out. I need to begin again. Is it the first time you've heard me say this? Are you sure? Welcome to Night Vale?
Welcome to Night Vale is a production of Night Vale Presents. It is written by Bree Williams, Joseph Fink, and Jeffrey Craner, and produced by Disparition. The voice of Night Vale is Cecil Baldwin. Original music by Disparition. All of it can be found at disparition.info or at disparition.bandcamp.com. This episode's weather was Shadows by Caged Animals from their new album, Escape Artist. Check it out at cagedanimals.bandcamp.com. Comments, questions, email us at info@welcometonightvale.com or follow us on Twitter at Night Vale Radio or make like a tree and exist in harmony with nature. Check out welcometonightvale.com for more information on this show and our 2018-2019 world tour to over 40 cities. Today's proverb: this one weird trick doesn't seem to have any real purpose, but maybe give it a try anyway.
Hey, listeners of Fine Podcasts, it's me, Hal Lublin, podcaster and friend.
And me, Meg Bashwinner, podcaster and acquaintance.
And me, Symphony Sanders, podcaster and friend with benefits. We are hopping in to tell you about our show, Good Morning Night Vale.
If you're hip to recent trends like Jewel, Cardi B, and Collusion, then you likely have already started listening to our official Welcome to Night Vale recap show.
I read about Jewel in The New Yorker while I was on the toilet.
Our weekly episodes feature interviews with the cast and creators, plus listener theories, questions, and my exact wishes for disposal of my body when I die.
If you haven't listened yet, we understand. We also have stuff going on too, you know.
We are also very busy.
Busy making a podcast for you about a podcast you love.
Just know that we're here for you whenever you're ready, in your podcast app and in your hearts.
Forever yours in fandom and friendship of every kind.
Love ya!
Is it Jewel or Jeweling?
I don't know. I think maybe it would be Jewel.
I'm on the toilet right now.
From PRX.
This is CKMS, 102.7 FM in Waterloo Region, radiowaterloo.ca on the web.
Come on, you women. That's a duty, diddy bug swain. Come on, you women. That's a duty, diddy bug swain. When you do the diddy bug swain, then you know you will be done a thing. I'm telling you, women, I can't stand it long. Hey, every time I ask you, you won't let me follow you home. You must have some Roundup laying in your own. Waking on my nuts. Hey, you gon' drop it in my blood.